Just to add one comment to what Brother Hamer said. The reason Elisha could do this because he saw that man go up into heaven. And we're linked up not with Christ upon the cross, as wonderful as that is. We're not even linked up with Christ risen. If Christ be not risen, we'll still be in our sins. But God's forethought for us is Christ ascended. You go tell my brethren that I am risen. No, you go tell my brethren I have sinned. And my father, my God, your God. So that's why he could do this, because he saw the man go up. And we can see Jesus. We see Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, seated at God the Father's right hand.
I think we can demonstrate that Elisha is a type of the Lord Jesus from what we have in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Because there it speaks about John the Baptist, and verse 14, and it says, "If ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come." So as we have Elias there and John the Baptist, then we have Elisha, a picture of the Lord Jesus. And of course, with John's ministry, with more done to you, you've not lamented. With Elijah, he brought the law before them, he recalled them to the law. But in regard to the ministry of the Lord Jesus, it says, "We've piped unto you, and you have not danced." It was a ministry of grace. Elisha brought grace. And of the Lord Jesus we read, "Grace is poured into thy lips."
The Spirit of God is demonstrating to us. What does it mean that vessels, they were filled with oil? That chapter opens with vessels with abundance of oil that never ran out. Individuals, we're going to bring the type this morning. Individuals that have been dwelt and filled with the Spirit of God. So now he's bringing it in a practical way. Seen in individuals. What does it mean to an individual that is being indwelt by the Spirit of God? And the first of these three sessions that we will find out is that there is a woman with much spiritual perception with one single desire, is to make much of Christ. And that's why we have the Spirit of God. One of the most important reasons that the Spirit of God were given to us is that we might know and learn much of Christ. And how wonderful, as we will be ushering into this story, that we will see features that will speak to us of all the manifold greatness of our Lord Jesus.
I was thinking of the fact that, as you spoke, Emil, of salvation as an element that comes out in the life of Elisha, that what you have in chapter 4, you pointed out, is this matter of the restoration of life. But not only the thought of the restoration of life as you get to the end of verse 37, but what you have is the restoration of sonship. And if you think of it, life is intended to come on board so that we can appreciate the dignity of sonship into which we've been brought, if we have not been in the enjoyment of that. Now you'd notice that in the earlier part of this chapter, where the woman was going to lose her two children, she says, to the creditor. And Elisha comes on board and he supplies everything. And in the end, what you get is not children, but it says, "Go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy son." That God is interested in the restoration of the features of sonship in the assembly, where there is lifelessness in assembly character. Now, in order for that to happen, I think it's nice to take note of the fact that she's a wealthy woman. And I wonder, is it implying that in order to make much of Elisha, in order to make much of Christ, that there needs to be some form of wealth? in one's soul in order to make way for the prophet, the holy man of God.
Apostle Paul's ministry to give us that because he taught the uncertain riches of Christ. What wealth we have, all found in our Lord Jesus Christ.
She was a great woman in a natural sense because she was a woman of wealth and she was a woman of some standing in society. But we don't want to miss the point that she was a great woman when it comes to faith. Mm-hmm. She was a great woman for her moral qualities. She was a great woman in her spiritual intelligence, even in the matter of headship with her husband. Mm-hmm. So there are all these very pleasing features. And we have to ask ourselves, are we going to seek to be great in the eyes of the world or great in the sight of God? There's another woman introduced to us in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 15. The Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanitish woman, who desired to eat of the crumbs that fell from the table. And the Lord said to that woman, O woman, great is thy faith. So in this, we have qualities that we can emulate. How is it that we become great spiritually? Because perhaps some of us here this morning are feeling like spiritual bankrupts. You know, the creditors come, they wanted to take away our sons. We've got problems. How do we get out of this negativity? The answer was in the oil, in the measure in which the Spirit of God was introduced. And if we take that lesson and go with that and make room for the Spirit of God in our lives, God will make us great also in a spiritual sense.
And greatness can only come by the Lord himself. That's what David had uttered. Thy gentleness hath made me great. And what a wonderful feature that the Lord in his sovereign way and in his work on Calvary's cross has made the saints of God great in the sight of heaven. But how wonderful to see another feature, that he or she embraced the prophet. There is another woman in the book of Acts chapter 16 to add to these wonderful sisters. We're on the good side of the sisters today. So another sister that had the same feeling regarding a man of God was a woman by the name of Lydia in the book of Acts chapter 16. And it was said of her, the same thing that was said of the Shunammite woman, that she constrained us to stay. They knew that there is something about these men and they wanted them to occupy their own domestic circumstances. And brethren, if we know something of the greatness of Christ, do we have a desire that this blessed one will be the center of our own households? This is the desire she had. Lydia had the same desire, and may it be that it's also our own desires as parents.
One verse of scripture, John 10, verse 10. How does one become great? I'll use this verse. It says in John 10, 10, he cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. So when we talk about wealth, we are talking about abundance. And this abundance here is what Christ gives us when we come to know him. But how do we define abundance in this life?